ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome back to the live studios here in Bhaktivedanta Ashram, Govardhan, just across the street from that most famous of all hills, Giriraj Govardhan. We're here to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, beginning with text 31. My dear King, in a sacred and holy place of pilgrimage, one should select a place in which to perform yoga. The place must be level and not too high or low. There, one should sit very comfortably, being steady and equipoised, keeping his body straight, and thus begin chanting the Vedic pranava. Purport. Generally, the chanting of Om is recommended because in the beginning, one cannot understand the personality of Godhead. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmati paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman Paramatma or Bhagavan. Unless one is fully convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has the tendency to become an impersonalist yogi searching for the Supreme Lord within the core of his heart. Jana vastita tet katina manasa pashantiyam yoginaha. Here, the chanting of Omkara is recommended because in the beginning of transcendental realization, instead of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one may chant Omkara Pranava. There is no difference between the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and Omkara because both of them are sound representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In all Vedic literatures, the sound vibration Omkara is the beginning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The difference between chanting Omkara and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is that the Hare Krishna mantra may be chanted without consideration of the time, of the place, or the sitting arrangements recommended in Bhagavad Gita 6.11. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya stinam asanam atmanah natyuchitam natibicham chayajinya kushotadam. To practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kusha grass on the ground and then cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should be neither too high nor too low and should be situated in a sacred place. The Hare Krishna mantra may be chanted by anyone without consideration of the place or how one sits. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has openly declared, Nilatak Smarane Nikalaha. In chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there are no particular injunctions regarding one's sitting place. The injunction Niyamatak Smarane Nikalaha includes Desha, Kala, and Patra, place, time, and the individual. Therefore, anyone may chant the Hare Krishna mantra without consideration of the time and place. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to find a suitable place according to the recommendations of Bhagavad Gita. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra, however, may be chanted at any place and at any time, and this will bring results very quickly. Yet even while chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, one may observe regulative principles. Thus, while sitting and chanting, one may keep his body straight, and this will help one in the chanting process. Otherwise, one may feel sleepy. Text 32 and 33. While continuously staring at the tip of the nose, a learned yogi practices the breathing exercises through the technical means known as Pulaka, Kumbhaka, and Richika, controlling inhalation and exhalation and then stopping them both. In this way, the yogi restricts his mind from material attachments and gives up all mental desires. As soon as the mind, being defeated by lusty desires, drifts toward feelings of sense gratification, the yogi should immediately bring it back and arrest it within the core of his heart. Purport. The practice of yoga is concisely explained herein. When this practice of yoga is perfect, one sees the Supersoul, the Paramatma, feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of one's heart. However, in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord says, Yoginam abhisarvesham madgatinam taratmana shadhavan vajate yomam samayuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. A devotee can immediately become a perfect yogi because he practices keeping Krishna constantly within the core of his heart. This is another way to practice yoga easily. The Lord says, always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. If one practices devotional service by always keeping Krishna within the core of his heart, manmana, he immediately becomes a first-class yogi. Furthermore, keeping Krishna within the mind is not a difficult task for the devotee. For an ordinary man in the bodily concept of life, the practice of yoga may be helpful, but one who immediately takes to devotional service can immediately become a perfect yogi without difficulty. Text 34. When a yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time, his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Purport. Nirvana means the cessation of all material desires. Sometimes desirelessness is understood to imply an end to the workings of the mind, but this is not possible. The living entity has senses, and if the senses stopped working, the living entity would no longer be a living entity. He would be exactly like stone or wood. This is not possible. Because he is living, he is nitya and chetana, eternally sentient. For those who are not very advanced, the practice of yoga is recommended in order to stop the mind from being agitated by material desires. But if one fixes his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, his mind naturally becomes peaceful very soon. This peace is described in Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Muktadam jagatapasam savaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam yatmanam shantimrishchiti. If one can understand Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor of everything, and the supreme friend of everyone, one is established in peace and is free from material agitation. However, for one who cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the practice of yoga is recommended. 35. When one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities, for one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. Purport. Brahma Sukha Sprishtam is also described in Bhagavad Gita 1854. Brahma Bhutak Prasanatma Nishochati Nakankshati Samat Sarveshi Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Padam. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In this situation, he begins transcendental activities or devotional service to the Lord. Generally, once elevated to the transcendental platform of Brahmasukha, transcendental bliss, one never comes down. But if one does not engage in devotional service, there is a chance of his returning to the material platform. Anu yakrit chena padam padam tadak padante donadrita yushmat angraya. One may rise to the platform of Brahmasukha, transcendental bliss, but even from that platform, one may fall down to the material platform if he does not engage himself in devotional service.
One who accepts the sannyas order gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life, namely religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One who first accepts sannyas, but then returns to such materialistic activities is to be called a vantashi, or one who eats his own vomit. He is indeed a shameless person. Purport. Materialistic activities are regulated by the institution of Varnashrama Dharma. Without Varnashrama Dharma, materialistic activities constitute animal life. Yet even in human life, while observing the principles of Varna and Ashrama, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, one must ultimately accept Sannyas, the renounced order, for only by the renounced order can one be situated in Brahmasukha, or transcendental bliss. In Brahmasukha, one is no longer attracted by lusty desires. Indeed, when one is no longer disturbed, especially by lusty desires for sexual indulgence, he is fit to become a sannyasi. Otherwise, one should not accept the sannyas order. If one accepts sannyas at an immature stage, there is every possibility of his being attracted by women and lusty desires, and thus again becoming a so-called grihastha or a victim of women. Such a person is most shameless, and he is called vantashi, or one who eats that which he has already vomited. He certainly leads a condemned life. In our Krishna consciousness movement, it is advised, therefore, that the sannyasis and brahmacharis keep strictly aloof from the association of women so that there will be no chance of their falling down again as victims of lusty desires. 37. Sannyasis who first consider that the body is subject to death, when it will be transformed into stool, worms, or ashes, but who again give importance to the body and glorify it as the self, are to be considered the greatest rascals. Purport. A sannyasi is one who has clearly understood through advancement in knowledge that Brahman, he, the person himself, is the soul, not the body. One who has this understanding may take sannyas, for he is situated in the aham brahmasmi position. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Na Shochati Na Kangshati. Such a person who no longer laments or hankers to maintain his body and who can accept all living entities as spirit souls can then enter the devotional service of the Lord. If one does not enter the devotional service of the Lord but artificially considers himself Brahman or Narayana, not perfectly understanding that the soul and body are different, one certainly falls down, Patantyada. Such a person again gives importance to the body. There are many sannyasis in India who stress the importance of the body. Some of them give special importance to the body of the poor man, accepting him as Dravidra Narayana, as if Narayana had a material body. Many other sannyasis stress the importance of the social position of the body as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. Such sannyasis are considered the greatest rascals, Asatamaha. They are shameless because they have not yet understood the difference between the body and the soul and instead have accepted the body of a brahmana to be a brahmana. Brahmanism, brahmanya, consists of the knowledge of Brahman, but actually the body of a brahmana is not Brahman. Similarly, the body is neither rich nor poor. If the body of a poor man were Dravidra Narayana, this would mean that the body of a rich man, on the contrary, must be Dhani Narayana. Therefore, sannyasis who do not know the meaning of Narayana, those who regard the body as Brahman or as Narayana, are described here as Asatamaha, the most abominable rascals. Following the bodily concept of life, such sannyasis make various programs to serve the body. They conduct farcical missions consisting of so-called religious activities meant to mislead all of human society. These sannyasis have been described herein as apatrapa, or asatamaha, shameless and fallen from spiritual life. Text 38 through 39. It is abominable for a person living in the grihastha ashrama to give up the regular principles, for a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru, for a vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called activities, social activities, or sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is to be considered the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should either reject him from any position, or taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. Purport. We have repeatedly stressed that human culture does not begin unless one takes to the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. Although grihastha life is a concession for the enjoyment of sex, one cannot enjoy sex without following the rules and regulations of household life. Furthermore, as already instructed, a brahmachari must live under the care of the guru. Brahmachari guru kule vasandanto gurudhitam. If a brahmachari does not live under the care of the guru, if a vanaprastha engages in ordinary activities, or if a sannyasi, if a vanaprastha engages in ordinary activities, or if a sannyasi is greedy and eats meat, eggs, and all kinds of nonsense for the satisfaction of his tongue, he is a cheater and should immediately be rejected as unimportant. Such persons should be shown compassion, and if one has sufficient strength, one should teach them to stop them from following the wrong path in life. Otherwise, one should reject them and pay them no attention. 40. The human form of body is meant for understanding the Self and the Supreme Self. The human form of body is meant for understanding the Self and the Super Self, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both of whom are transcendentally situated. If both of them can be understood when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for what reason and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? Purport. Of course, everyone in this material world is interested in maintaining the body for sense gratification, but by cultivating knowledge, one should gradually understand that the body is not the self. Both the soul and the super soul are transcendental to the material body. This is to the material world. Both the soul and the super soul are transcendental to the material world. This is to be understood in the human form of life, especially when one takes sannyas. A sannyasi, one who has understood the self, should be engaged in elevating the self and associating with the super self. Our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for elevating the living being for promotion back home, back to Godhead. Seeking such elevation is one's duty in the human form of life. Unless one performs this duty, why should one maintain the body? Especially if a sannyasi not only maintains the body by ordinary means, but does everything to maintain the body, including even eating meat and other abominable things, he must be nirampataha, a greedy person simply engaged in sense gratification. A sannyasi must specifically remove himself from the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, which disturb one as long as one is not fully aware that the body is separate from the soul.
Text 41. Transcendentalists who are advanced in knowledge compare the body, which is made by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to a chariot. The senses are like the horses, the mind, the master of the senses, is like the reins. The objects of the senses are the destinations. Intelligence is the chariot driver, and consciousness, which spreads throughout the body, is the cause of bondage in this material world. Purport. For a bewildered person in the materialistic way of life, The body, the mind, and the senses, which are engaged in sense gratification, are the cause of bondage to repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. But for one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge, the same body, senses, and mind are the cause of liberation. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad as follows. Atmanam ritinam vidhi shariram ritab evacha buddhim nasalatim vidhi manak pragranam evacha indriyani haram ahur vishayans tishagocharan so dvandat padam apnoti tad vishno paramam padam. The soul is the occupant of the chariot of the body, of which the driver is the intelligence. The mind is the determination to reach the destination. The senses of the horses and the sense objects are also included in that activity. Thus one can reach the destination, Vishnu, who is Paramam Padam, the supreme goal of life. In conditioned life, the consciousness in the body is the cause of bondage. But the same consciousness, when transformed into Krishna consciousness, becomes the cause for one's returning home, back to Godhead. The human body, therefore, may be used in two ways, for going to the darkest regions of ignorance, or for going forward, back home, back to Godhead. To go back to Godhead, the path is Mahat Seva, to accept the self-realized spiritual master. Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimukte. For liberation, one should accept the direction of authorized devotees who can actually endow one with perfect knowledge. On the other hand, tamodvaram yoshitam sankisangam. If one wants to go to the darkest regions of material existence, one may continue to associate with persons who are attached to women. Yoshitam sankisangam. The word yoshit means woman. Persons who are too materialistic are attached to women. It is said, therefore, Atmanam ratitam vidhi shariram ratamevacha. The body is just like a chariot or car in which one may go anywhere. One may drive well, or else one may drive whimsically, in which case it is quite possible that he may have an accident and fall into a ditch. In other words, if one takes directions from the experienced spiritual master, one can go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, one may return to the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, Krishna personally advises, Acharyanam nak purusha namasyasya parantapa apapimam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, personally gives instructions on how one can return home, back to Godhead. But if one does not care to listen to his instructions, the result will be that one will never go back to Godhead, but will return and continue life in this miserable condition of repeated birth and death in material existence. Mrityu, samsara, vartmani. The advice of experienced transcendentalists, therefore, is that the body being fully engaged for achieving the ultimate goal of life, swartha gatim. The real interest or goal of life is to return home, back to Godhead. To enable one to fulfill this purpose, there are so many Vedic literatures, including Vedanta Sutra, the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, and the Ramayana. One should take lessons from these Vedic literatures and learn how to practice Nivritti Marg. Then one's life will be perfect. The body is important as long as it has consciousness. Without consciousness, the body is merely a lump of matter. Therefore, to return home back to Godhead, one must change his consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness. One's consciousness is the cause of material bondage, but if this consciousness is purified by bhakti yoga, one can then understand the falsity of his upadhi, his designations as Indian, American, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, and so on. sarvabhati sarvapadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. One must forget these designations and use this consciousness only for the service of Krishna. Therefore, if one takes advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement, his life is certainly successful. Text 42. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels, and the top and bottom of the wheel itself are called religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. The Vedic mantra pranava is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being. Yayivo. Ten kinds of air, purport. Ten kinds of air always flow. Ten kinds of life air always flow within the material body. They are called prana, apana, samana, vyana, udana, naga, korma, krikala, devadatta, and dhananjaya. They are compared here to the spokes of the chariot's wheels. The life air is the energy for all of the living beings' activities, which are sometimes religious and sometimes irreligious. Thus, religion and irreligion are said to be the upper and lower portions of the chariot's wheels. When the living entity decides to go back home, back to Godhead, his target is Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the conditioned state of life, one does not understand that the goal of life is the Supreme Lord. Nate vidu svarkatitim hi Vishnu nirashaya ye bahirartha maninaha. The living entity tries to be happy within this material world, not understanding the target of his life. When he is purified, however, he gives up his bodily conception of life and his false identity as belonging to a certain community, a certain nation, a certain society, a certain family, and so on. Sarvabhadi nivir muktam tat parat vena nirmalam. When he takes the arrow of his purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of pranava, or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented that because the words bow and arrow are used in this verse, one might argue that the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead and the living entity have become enemies. However, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become the so-called enemy of the living being, this is his chivalrous pleasure. For example, the Lord's fought with Bhishma, and when Bhishma pierced the Lord's body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this was a kind of humor or relationship of which there are 12. When the conditioned soul tries to reach the Lord by hurling an arrow at him, the Lord takes pleasure, and the living entity gains the profit of going back home, back to Godhead. Another example given in this regard is that Arjuna, as a result of piercing the Adhara Mina, or the fish within the chakra, achieved the valuable gain of Draupadi. Similarly, if with the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord one pierces Lord Vishnu's lotus feet by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. Prabhupada, so poetic. Isn't it? Amazing. 43 and 44. In the conditioned stage, one's conceptions of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-fighting, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. Sounds familiar. All of these are enemies. Sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. Purport. The actual aim of life is to go back home back to Godhead. But there are many hindrances created by the three modes of material nature. Sometimes, by a combination of Rajaguna and Tamaguna, the modes of passion and ignorance, sometimes by the mode of goodness. In the material world, even if one is a philanthropist, a nationalist, and a good man according to materialistic estimations, these conceptions of life form a hindrance to spiritual advancement. How much more of a hindrance, then, are hostility, greed, illusion, lamentation, and too much attachment to material enjoyment? To progress toward the target of Vishnu, which is our real self-interest, one must become very powerful in conquering these various hindrances or enemies. In other words, one should not be attached to being a good man or a bad man in this material world. In this material world, so-called goodness and badness are the same because they consist of the three modes of material nature. One must transcend this material nature. Even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies consist of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna advised Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nityasatvasto Niryokakshima Atmavan. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna, be transcendental to all of them, be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the Self. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha. If one becomes a very good person, in other words, if one is in the mode of goodness, he may be elevated to the higher planetary systems. Similarly, if one is infected by Rajaguna and Tamaguna, he may remain in this world or go down to the animal kingdom. But all of these situations are hindrances on the path of spiritual salvation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Vananda Bhamati Konya Bhagavanji Bhagyamanji Guru Krishna Prasadi Poya Bhakti Lata Bij. If one is fortunate enough to transcend all this so-called goodness and badness and come to the platform of devotional service by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, his life becomes successful. In this regard, one must be very bold so that he can conquer these enemies of Krishna consciousness. Not caring for the good and bad of this material world, one must boldly propagate Krishna consciousness. Text 45. As long as one has to accept the material body with its parts and paraphernalia which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tat pataha chaktva deham punar janma netimam iti sojina. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20:17, Pasmam sukulam guru nadignanam Mayanukulin basmitaritam Pumagbhavadmim nataretsa atmaha. This human form of body is a most valuable boat, and the spirit spiritual master is the captain, Guru Karnadvaram, to guide the boat in plying across the ocean of nations. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nations. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely, so that by his mercy, one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The significant word here is Tabala. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples, and consequently, by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. One must first please the spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nations. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For thus one gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy, and one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of Jnana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and its paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, Brahma-bhuta, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 1854, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nishuchati nakankshati samat sargeshu vuteshu madbhaktim labate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge, as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhaktyanam vijanati yavanyascha smitatvataha tatomam tatpato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master in Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept a material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chami divyam evam yo veti tatpataha chaktva deham punar janma naitima iti sojana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tatpataha, meaning in reality, is very important. Tatomam tatpato gyatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, Avurya Krich Trinapadam Padantatak Padantadonavritajushmat Angrayaha. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. Even if one attains the stage of Brahmapadam, merging in Brahman, without bhakti, he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with the bona fide spiritual master, coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy and instructions, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Significant in this verse are the words Jnanasim Achyuta Balak. Jnanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. Rajendranandana jay sachisutta haila se Balaram haila utnitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi yata chila hari nama udarila. Hari nama udarila. The weapon is Sankirtana, Harinama. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balarama. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balarama in Vrindavan. In the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Nayam Atma Balahini. Go ahead. Now do your regular tune. The new tune. New verse. Really? Nayam Atma Balahini Nalabhyo Nachapatat Patabasobi Paklingad. Itar upayar yatate yastu bidbangs tasyaisha atma vishate brahmadama. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balarama. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Naitrayara karunanuhabi vraji radha krishna pabi. When one receives the mercy of Balarama, Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se sambandha nahiyara mithu janma gilathara vidyakula ki karibidhara. If one has no connection with Nitai, Balarama, then even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani, or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balarama.
Balarama 3.23. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
the senses acting as the horses and the intelligence acting as the driver, both being prone to material contamination, inattentively bring the body, which acts as the chariot, to the path of sense gratification. When one is thus attracted again by the rogues of Vishaya, eating, sleeping, and mating, the horses and chariot driver are thrown into the blinding dark well of material existence, and one is again put into a dangerous and extremely fearful situation of repeated birth and death. Purport, without the protection of Gaura Nitai, Krishna and Balaram, one cannot get out of the dark well of ignorance in material existence. This is indicated here by the word Nuchet, which means that one will always remain in the dark well of material existence. Question, which word means that one will always remain in the dark well of material existence?
No chat.
No chat. Muchet. The living entity must get strength from Gornitai. Who must the living entity get strength from?
Gornitai!
What about Krishna Balaram? Or Krishna Balaram?
Yes.
Same person.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Nandasuman?
Yes.
Yes, he's in. Without the mercy of Nitai Gaur, there's no way to come out of this dark well of ignorance. Without the mercy of Gornitai, there's several ways to come out of the dark well of ignorance. True or false?
False.
Loka? True or false?
Nay.
What?
Nay.
Nay. Net. Net.
Yeah.
As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahauditao Gododai Pushpavantao Chitra Chandao Tamaududao. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance, and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. This material world is a dark well of ignorance. The fallen soul in this dark well must take shelter of the lotus feet of Gaura Nitai, for thus he can easily emerge from material existence. Without their strength, simply attempting to get out of the clutches of matter by speculative knowledge will be insufficient. 47. According to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti. Activities involve raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life, whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desire. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglement, but by nivritti activities, one is purified and becomes fit to enjoy blissful, eternal blissful life. Fit to enjoy eternal blissful life. Fitness. Purport, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 16:7, Pavitrim cha nivritim cha janana vidur asura. The asuras, non-devotees, cannot distinguish between pravritti and nivritti. Whatever they like, they do. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Such persons think themselves independent of the strong material nature, and therefore they are irresponsible and do not care to act piously. Indeed, they do not distinguish between pious and impious activity. Bhakti, of course, does not depend on pious or impious activity, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.26. Savai pumsam paro tamo yato bhaktir adhoksaje ahaitukiya pratiyata yayatma supasivati. The supreme patient dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Nonetheless, those who act piously have a better chance to become devotees. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, Chaturvita bhajante manjana sukritino jana. O Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. One who takes to devotional service, even with some material motive, is considered pious. And because he has come to Krishna, he will gradually come to the stage of bhakti. Then, like Dhruva Maharaj, he will refuse to accept any material benediction from the Lord. Swamin kritartho smivaram nayache. Therefore, even if one is materially inclined, one may take to the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, or Gaura Nitai, so that he will very soon be purified of all material desires. Shripam pavatita natma shashvat shantim negashiti. As soon as one is freed from inclinations toward pious and impious activities, he becomes a perfect candidate for returning back home, back to Godhead. Hi, I'm your candidate for returning back home to Godhead. Text 48 to 49. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices known as Agnihotra Yajna, Darsha Yajna, Purnamasa Yajna, Chaturvasya Yajna, Pashu Yajna, and Soma Yajna are all symptomized by the killing of animals and the burning of many valuables, especially food grains, all for the fulfillment of material desires and the creation of anxiety. Performing such sacrifices, worshipping Vaishvadeva, and performing the ceremony of Baliharana, which all supposedly constitute the goal of life, as well as constructing temples for demigods, building resting houses and gardens, digging wells for the distribution of water, establishing booths for the distribution of food, and performing activities for public welfare, these are all symptomized by attachment to material desires. Do you like the verse?
Yes.
You like it very much. Which kind of yajna are we doing tomorrow? Are we doing an Agnihotra, a Darsha Yajna, Purnamasa Yajna, Chaturmasa, Pashu? I saw the squirrel in there today. We're going to have a squirrel sacrifice. We'll bring him back to life, Marsh, don't worry. We'll use CPR for squirrels.
My text 30, no, 50-51. My dear King Yudhishthir, when oblations of ghee and food grains like barley and sesame are offered in sacrifice, they turn into celestial smoke, which carries one to successively higher planetary systems, like the kingdoms of Duma, Ratri, Krishnapaksha, Dakshinam, and ultimately the moon. Then, however, the performers of sacrifice descend again to earth to become herbs, creepers, vegetables, and food grains. These are eaten by different living entities and turned into semen, which is injected into female bodies. Thus one takes birth again and again. Purport. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 9.21. Titam bhagavasvagalokam vishalam chine punni martyalokam vishanti evam chayi damamanu prabana gatagatam kama kama labante. When those who follow the pravritti mark have enjoyed heavenly sense pleasure, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, through the Vedic principles, they achieve only flickering happiness. Following the pravritti mark, the living entity who desires to be promoted to the higher planetary systems performs sacrifices regularly, and how he goes up and comes down again is described here in Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in Bhagavad Gita. It is also said, Trigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature. The Vedas deal with what, mainly?
Three modes of material nature.
The Vedas, especially three Vedas, namely Sama, Jadur, and Rik, vividly describe this process of ascending to the higher planets and returning. But Krishna advises Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunyo Bhavarjuna. One has to transcend these three modes of material nature. Then one will be released from the cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, although one may be promoted to a higher planetary system such as Chandraloka, one must again come down, Chine, Punye, Martyalokam, Bishanti. After one's enjoyment due to pious activities is finished, one must return to this planet in rainfall and first take birth as a plant or creeper, which is eaten by various animals, including human beings, and turned to semen. This semen is injected into the female body, and thus, if the living entity takes birth, those who return to earth in this way take birth, especially in the higher planets,
other families, like those of Brahmanas. It may be remarked in this connection that even the modern so-called scientists who are going to the moon are not able to stay there, but are returning to their laboratories. Laboratories? Laboratories? What is it? Laboratories. I got to get that app. Are you going to give me that app? I'll pay. Don't worry. Unless you want to give it in charity. Definitely American. Laboratory. Definitely American. Laboratory. Definitely American. Is it the English pronunciation? Laboratory is English. Like tomato, deity. Laboratory? Not American. They don't say English.
Laboratory.
Laboratory, but it said laboratory. It leaves out the O. It leaves out the O.
It's giving the English, but see here, it's got the alternative pronunciation. Is English in one
semester? Yeah, this parentheses part is out. Laboratory. 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 I'm in two minds about some of these words, you know, because he always says process, and I got into the habit following as a dutiful friend, and
Canadian. I'm half Canadian. My mom was born in Canada. So I can legitimately go either way.
But I've been out of America for so long, I forget how. Sometimes when I'm giving lectures and stuff, they ask me, what country are you from? That's a good sign. Sarvapati Nimini or Muktam. You want to make me an American? Is that what you wanted to do? Want me to make you American? Is that what you want me to do?
That's because you say dynasty, that's why.
What?
There's no dynasty. If you say that on the recording, you're going to be fired, I guarantee you. Listen.
Dynasty. British. I like dynasty. It. I like it. Of life, you know?
But it doesn't have the thing here. It doesn't allow you to say this one. Dynasty. Dynasty.
This must be a sign. Dynasty. This must be a sign.
The reason they don't put it on there is because everybody knows. I have a question, though, about this. And I'm done with the purport, but last year, the year before, I was in New Vrindavan, and Bhakti Trimarish was talking about cosmography, and when he talked about the way that a living entity uses up his pious credits in the heavenly planets, and this must be from some Purana or something, so I'm seeing if you've heard this before, Madhva, that when he's used up his final pious credit in the heavenly planets, he falls down into this region, which is an interim region where it's full of rakshasas. And there he's devoured, his body is devoured, and he sheds tears because it's so painful and gruesome. And it's those tears that fall down and become rainfall that fall down and become the herbs and creepers. You heard it? Can we trace it out? Madhva will find it. He's our researchist and archivist.
Okay, sorry, Marsh. Go right ahead. Continue with the purport.
It may be remarked.
We'll finish our sentence. Go ahead, Alan.
Oh, laboratories. Yes.
Therefore.
Pretty straightforward. Don't come over there.
come over there. Therefore, whether one goes to the moon by modern mechanical arrangements or by performing pious activities, one must return to earth. Come down to earth now. Come down to earth. That is clearly stated in this verse and explained in Bhagavad Gita. Even if one goes to the higher planetary systems, Yanti Deva Vrita Devan, one's place there is not secure. One must return to Martya Loka, Abrahma Bhavana Loka, Puna Arvatanarjuna. Aside from the moon, even if one goes to Brahma Loka, one must return. Yam Prapyanivartante Taddama Paramambama. But if one goes back home, back to Godhead, he need not return to this material world. Then you don't have to worry about laboratory, all these things, you know. It's all because of the material body. It takes it to. O twice-born Brahmana Dvija, a twice-born Dvija gains his life by the grace of his parents through the process of purification known as Garbhadana. There are also other processes of purification until the end of life when the funeral ceremony, Antyeshti Kriya, is performed. Thus, in due course, a qualified Brahmana becomes uninterested in materialistic activities and sacrifices, but he offers the sensual sacrifices in full knowledge into the working senses, which are illuminated by the fire of knowledge. Purport. Those interested in materialistic activities remain in the cycle of birth and death, pravritti marg, or the inclination to stay in the material world to enjoy varieties of sense gratification, has been explained in the previous verse. Now, in this verse, it is explained that one who has perfect brahmanical knowledge rejects the process of elevation to higher planets and accepts nivritti marg. In other words, he prepares himself to go back home, back to Godhead. Those who are not brahmanas, but atheists, do not know what is pravritti marg or nivritti marg. They simply want to obtain pleasure at any cost. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore training devotees to give up the pravritti marg and accept the nivritti marg in order to return home, back to Godhead. This is a little difficult to understand, but it is very easy if one takes to Krishna consciousness seriously. Takes to Krishna consciousness how?
Seriously.
You got that right. And tries to understand Krishna. A Krishna conscious person can understand that performing yajna according to the karmakanda system is a useless waste of time, and that merely giving up the karmakanda and accepting the process of speculation is also unfruitful.
I don't want to cause of you not finishing seventh canto.
Maharaj, please come in. Please come in.
Actually coming in.
Oh my God. What is this? My guru.
Woof, woof.
He's a woof.
Thank you very much for coming, Marge. I should have come. It's like the old days. You lifted us up in our time of need.
This is where the uplifting is. I'm just in a hole in the corner.
Are you going to Vrindavan?
Mayapur.
Oh, Mayapur. My goodness. Well, we'll be in touch.
a lot going on.
A lot going on, yes indeed. Good clean pun.
Bless me that I can read Srila Prabhupada's books without a mistake and properly so that people will like it too much.
Too much.
Yes. Without any sea voyages and planets of trees, etc., etc. Or without having once been, does he ever cease to be? I'll take the Mayavad stuff out. You have our unending, undying gratitude for what you've done for the world and for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure.
What do I have for the stuff I did the other way?
Insignificant. We've just been reading about it.
Stuff of literature, huh?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Ho.
It's only Jai Ho. Jai Maharaj ki.
Jai Ho. Jai Maharaj. Jai Ho. Come again soon. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Jai. Glory to Prabhupada. That was a breath of fresh air.
Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur has sung in his Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Karmakanda Jnanakanda Kivila Vishera Banda Amrita Boriya Yiba Kaya Yuni Sadapire Kundaya Bhakshana Kode Tala Janma Ada Pateya. A life of Karmakanda or Jnanakanda is like a poison pot, and one who takes to such a life is doomed. In the Karmakanda system, one is destined to accept birth and death again and again. Similarly, with Jnanakanda, one falls down again to this material world. Only worship of the Supreme Person offers one the safety of going back home, back to Godhead. Text 53. The mind is always agitated by waves of acceptance and rejection. Therefore, all the activities of the senses should be offered into the mind, which should be offered into one's words. Then one's words should be offered into the aggregate of all alphabets, which should be offered into the concise form, Omkara. Omkara should be offered into the point, Bindu. Bindu into the vibration of sound, and that vibration into the life air. Then the living entity, who is all that remains, should be placed in Brahman, the Supreme. This is the process of sacrifice. Wow, how beautiful is that? Huh? Purport. The mind is always agitated by acceptance and rejection, which are compared to mental waves that are constantly tossing. The living entity is floating in the waves of material existence because of his forgetfulness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung in his Gitapadi, Michimayavashi, Michibishi, Chibudhuduvai. My dear mind, under the influence of Maya, you are being carried away by the waves of rejection and acceptance. Simply take shelter of Krishna. Jiv Krishna Das Avishwas Kalitharan. If we simply regard the lotus feet of Krishna as our ultimate shelter, we shall be saved from all these waves of Maya, which are variously exhibited as mental and sensual activities, and the agitation of rejection and acceptance. Krishna instructs in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam charanam braja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishami mashuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Therefore, if we simply place ourselves at the lotus feet of Krishna by taking to Krishna consciousness and keeping always in touch with Him by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we need not take much trouble in arranging to return to the spiritual world. I mean, how nice is that? I've got to hear that again. Phew. Therefore, if we simply place ourselves at the lotus feet of Krishna by taking to Krishna consciousness and keeping ourselves always in touch with Him by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we need not take much trouble in arranging to return to the spiritual world. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is very easy. Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kivalam Kalo Nastiva 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 Katyaranyata. Text 54. On this path of ascent, the progressive living entity enters the different worlds of fire, the sun, the day, the end of the day, the bright fortnight, the full moon, and the passing of the sun in the north, along with their presiding demigods. When he enters Brahmaloka, he enjoys life for many millions of years, and finally, his material designation comes to an end. He then comes to a subtle designation from which he attains the causal designation, witnessing all previous states. Upon the annihilation of this causal state, he attains his pure state, in which he identifies with the Supersoul. In this way, the living entity becomes transcendental. May I make a point?
Is that in the Bible?
May I make a point? Would you mind if I made a point? I didn't mean to horn in on your routine, but okay. This reminds me of that one purport. Shabadam Kirtanam Vishnu Sparapadam Sevanam, in which Prabhupada analyzes each individual item of a nine person of devotional service. And when he comes to the Dasyam stage, the explanation is only like four lines or five lines. Once one actually feels like one's a devotee, in other words, fully identifies himself as being a devotee, then all of the other processes of devotional service are automatically complete, done. And it reminds me of this. And upon the annihilation of this causal state, he attains pure state in which he identifies with the Supersoul. In this way, living in it becomes transcendental. Thinking about the statement the Prabhupada made about we don't have to take the trouble to go back to Godhead, by taking Krishna consciousness, we feel like we're devotees. And with that feeling, we automatically think of Krishna during the day. We automatically feel His protection, and we automatically become eligible without separate endeavor. 55. This gradual process of elevation for self-realization is meant for those who are truly aware of the Absolute Truth. After repeated birth on this path, which is known as Devayana, one attains these consecutive stages. One who is completely free from all material desires, being situated in the self, need not traverse the path of repeated birth and death.
Brings us to the Gayatri break. We will be back here at 25 after, 11 minutes. Please come right back, because we can finish the canto before lunch. If not, we'll be here all night. Thank you. We're on.
Canto 7, Chapter 15, instructions for civilized human beings. We're taking up where we left off at the Gayatri break at text number 56. Even though situated in a material body, one who is fully aware of the paths known as Pitriyana and Devayana, and who thus opens his eyes in terms of Vedic knowledge, is never bewildered in this material world. Purport. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who is guided by the bona fide spiritual master knows everything as stated in the Vedas, which set forth the standard of infallible knowledge. As recommended in Bhagavad Gita, Acharyopasanam, one must approach the Acharya for real knowledge. Tadvijnanartam sa gurum eva bhigachet. One must approach the Acharya, for then one will receive perfect knowledge. When guided by the spiritual master, one attains the ultimate goal of life. 57. He who exists internally and externally, at the beginning and end of everything, and of all living beings, as that which is enjoyable, and as the enjoyer of everything, superior and inferior, is the supreme truth. He always exists as knowledge and the object of knowledge, as expression and the object of understanding, as darkness and as light. Thus he, the Supreme Lord, is everything. Purport. Here, the Vedic aphorism Sarva Brahma is explained. It is also explained in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Aham Evasa Mevagre. The Supreme Lord existed in the beginning. He exists after the creation and maintains everything. And after destruction, everything merges in him, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Prakritim Yanti Mam Ikam. Thus the Supreme Lord is actually everything. In the conditioned state, we are bewildered in our understanding, but in the perfect stage of liberation, we can understand that Krishna is the cause of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. This is the perfection of knowledge. 58. Although one may consider the reflection of the sun from a mirror to be false, it has its factual existence. Accordingly, to prove by speculative knowledge that there is no reality would be extremely difficult. Purport. The impersonalists try to prove that the varieties in the vision of the empiric philosopher are false. The impersonalist philosophy, Vivartavada, generally cites the acceptance of a rope to be a snake as an example of this fact. According to this example, the varieties within our vision are false, just as a rope seen to be a snake is false. The Vaishnavas say, however, that although the idea that the rope is a snake is false, the snake is not false. One has experience of a snake in reality, and therefore he knows that although the representation of the snake, of the rope, as a snake is false or illusory, there is a snake in reality. Similarly, this world, which is full of varieties, is not false. It is a reflection of the reality in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual world. The reflection of the sun from a mirror is nothing but light within darkness. Thus, although it is not exactly sunlight, without the sunlight the reflection would be impossible. Similarly, the varieties of this world would be impossible unless there were a real prototype in the spiritual world. The Mayavadi philosopher cannot understand this, but a real philosopher must be convinced that light is not possible at all without a background of sunlight. Thus, the jugglery of words used by the Mayavadi philosopher to prove that this material world is false may amaze inexperienced children. But a man with full knowledge knows perfectly well that there cannot be any existence without Krishna. That's a nice one. Therefore, a Vaishnava insists on the platform of somehow or other accepting Krishna. Tasmat kenapyupayena manak Krishna nivesha yet. When we raise our unmixed faith to the lotus feet of Krishna, everything is revealed. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 7.1, Maya sakta mana parta yogam yunjan madashayaha Asam shayam samagraman yatagyasasitashtrinu. Now hear, O Sunaputta Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by raising one's staunch faith in Krishna and his instructions, one can understand reality without a doubt. Asam shayam samagraman. One can understand how Krishna's material and spiritual energies are working and how he is present everywhere, although everything is not him. This philosophy of achinta bheda, inconceivable oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy enunciated by the Vaishnavas. Everything is an emanation from Krishna, but it is not that everything must therefore be worshipped. I'm sorry? Speculative knowledge cannot give us reality as it is, but will continue to be nefariously imperfect. So-called scientists try to prove that nefariously imperfect. So-called scientists try to prove that there is no God and that everything is happening because of the laws of nature. But this is imperfect knowledge because nothing can work unless directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.10 by the Lord Himself. Maya dakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanina kaunteya jagavibharivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives this note. Durghatatvad atatvena parameshvarena eva kalpitam. The background of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Vasudeva ksarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabha. This can be understood by a mahatma who is perfect in knowledge. Such a mahatma is rarely seen. 59. In this world there are five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But the body is not a reflection of them, nor a combination or transformation of them. Because the body and its ingredients are neither distinct nor amalgamated, all such theories are insubstantial. Say what? Purport. A forest is certainly a transformation of the earth, but one tree does not depend on another tree. If one is cut down, this does not mean that the others are cut down. Therefore, the forest is neither a combination nor a transformation of the trees. The best explanation is given by Krishna himself. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina mastani sarvabhutani nachahanti shravastitaha. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Everything is an expansion of Krishna's energy. As it is said, parasya shakti vividaiva shuryate. The Lord has multi-energies, which are expressed in different ways. The energies are existing, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead also exists simultaneously, because everything is His energy. He is simultaneously one with everything and different from everything. Thus our speculative theories that Atma, the living force, is a combination. Thus our speculative theories that Atma, the living force, is a combination of matter, that matter is a transformation of the soul, or that the body is part of the soul, are all insubstantial. Since all the Lord's energies are simultaneously existing, one must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although He is everything, He is not present in everything. The Lord must be worshipped in His original form as Krishna. He can also present Himself in any one of His various expanded energies. When we worship the deity of the Lord in the temple, the deity appears to be stone or wood. Now, because the Supreme Lord does not have a material body, He is not stone or wood, yet stone or wood are not different from Him. Thus, by worshipping stone or wood, we get no result. But when the stone and wood are represented in the Lord's original form, by worshipping the deity, we get the desired result. This is supported by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achinta Bheda Abheda, which explains how the Lord can present Himself everywhere and anywhere in a form of His energy to accept service from the devotee. 60. Because the body is formed of the five elements, it cannot exist without the subtle sense objects. Because the body is formed of the five elements, it cannot exist without the subtle sense objects. Therefore, since the body is false, the sense objects are also naturally false or temporary. When a substance and its parts are separated, the acceptance of similarity between one and the other is called illusion. While dreaming, one creates a separation between the existences called wakefulness and sleep. It is in such a state of mind that the regulator principles of the scriptures, consisting of injunctions and prohibitions, are recommended. Purport. In material existence, there are many regulative principles and formalities. If material existence is temporary or false, this does not mean that the spiritual world, although similar, is also false. That one's material body is false or temporary does not mean that the body of the Supreme Lord is also false or temporary. The spiritual world is real, and the material world is similar to it. For example, in the desert we sometimes find a mirage, and although the water in a mirage is false, this does not mean that there is no water in reality. Water exists, but not in the desert. Similarly, nothing real is in this material world, but reality is in the spiritual world. The Lord's form and his abode, Goloka Vrindavan and the Vaikuntha planets, are eternal realities. From Bhagavad Gita we understand that there is another prakriti, or nature, which is real. This is explained by the Lord himself in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita 8:19-21. Bhutagram maksa evayam bhutva bhutva paliyate ratragame bhashakparta prabhavatta haragame parastasmattu bhavanyo yakto vyaktat sanatanah yaksa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati avyakto chari ityuktas tam ahu paramam gatim yam prapya nanivartante tadhama paramam mama. Again and again, the day of Brahma comes and all living beings are active, and again the night falls, O Partha, and they are helplessly dissolved. Yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That supreme abode is called unmanifested and infallible, and it is the supreme destination. When one goes there, he never comes back. That is my supreme abode. The material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. The material world is temporary or false, but the spiritual world is an eternal reality. Text 62. After considering the oneness of existence, activity, and paraphernalia, and after realizing the self to be different from all actions and reactions, the mental speculator, Muni, according to his own realization, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Purport. The three words, Bhavadvaita, Kriyadvaita, and Dravyadvaita, are explained in the following verses. However, one has to give up all the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world and come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. 63. When one understands that result and cause are one and that duality is ultimately unreal, like the idea that the threads of a cloth are different from the cloth itself, one reaches the conception of oneness called Bhavadvaita. 64. My dear Yudhishthir, Partha, when all the activities one performs with his mind, words, and body are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches oneness of activities called Kriyadvaita. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is teaching people how to come to the stage of dedicating everything to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yat kuroshi yat ishnasi, yat jahosi didasi, yat yat tapasyasti Kaunteya, yat kurusha prapanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. If whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we think, and whatever we plan is for the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, this is oneness. There is no difference between chanting for Krishna consciousness and working for Krishna consciousness. On the transcendental platform, they are one. But we must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness. We should not manufacture our own oneness. 65. When the ultimate goal and interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living beings is one, this is called Dravyadvaita, Dravyadvaita, or oneness of interest. Purport. The actual interest of all living entities, indeed the goal of life, is to return home back to Godhead. This is the interest of one's own self, one's wife, one's children, one's disciples, and one's friends, relatives, countrymen, and all humanity. The Krishna consciousness movement can give directions for management by which everyone can partake in Krishna conscious activities and reach the ultimate goal, which is known as Svarthagatim. This objective of everyone's interest is Vishnu, but because Vishnu did not know this, Nate vidu svarthagatim hi Vishnu. They are making various plans by which to fulfill so many concocted interests in life. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to bring everyone to the highest interest. The process may be differently named, but if the aim is one, people should follow it to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Unfortunately, people are thinking of different interests, and blind leaders are misleading them. Everyone is trying to reach the goal of complete happiness materially because people do not know what complete happiness is. They are materially diverted toward different interests.
66. In normal conditions, in the absence of danger, O King Yudhishthira, a man should perform his prescribed activities according to his status of life, with the things, endeavors, process, and living place that are not forbidden for him, and not by any other means. Purport. This instruction is given for men in all statuses of life. Generally, society is divided into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Vanaprastas, Sannyasis, and Grihastas. Everyone must act according to his position and try to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that will make one's life successful. This was instructed in Naimisharanya. Ata pundit dvijasvishta varnashrama vibhagasha sanushtista siddharmasya samsithir haritoshanam. O best among the twice-born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and order of life, is to please the Lord Hari. Everyone should act according to his occupational duties, just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then everyone will be happy. O King, one should perform his occupational duties according to these instructions, as well as other instructions given in the Vedic literature, just to remain a devotee of Lord Krishna. Thus, even while at home, one will be able to reach the destination. Purport. The ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, Krishna. Therefore, either by Vedic regulative principles or by materialistic activities, if one tries to reach the destination of Krishna, that is the perfection of life. Krishna should be the target. Everyone should try to reach Krishna from any position of life. Krishna accepts service from anyone. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:32,
Mam hi partavya pashritya yepi supyapayunaya sriya vaishastata shudras tepi yanti paramgatim. O Sanaprita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, as well as shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. It does not matter what one's position is. If one aims at reaching Krishna by performing his occupational duty under the direction of the spiritual master, his life is successful. It is not that only sannyasis, vanaprastas, and brahmacharis can reach Krishna. A grihastha, a householder, can also reach Krishna, provided he becomes a pure devotee without material desires. An example of this is cited in the next verse. O King Yudhishthira, because of your service to the Supreme Lord, all of you Pandavas defeated the greatest dangers posed by numerous kings and demigods. By serving the lotus feet of Krishna, you conquered great enemies who were like elephants, and thus you collected ingredients for sacrifice. By his grace, may you be delivered from material involvement. Purport. Placing himself as an ordinary householder, Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired from Narada Muni how a Griha Mudati, a person who is entangled in household life and who thus continues to remain a fool, can be delivered. Narada Muni encouraged Maharaj Yudhishthira by saying, you are already on the safe side because you, along with your entire family, have become a pure devotee of Krishna. By Krishna's grace, the Pandavas conquered in the battle of Kurukshetra. By Krishna's grace, the Pandavas conquered in the battle of Kurukshetra and were saved from many dangers posed not only by kings, but sometimes even by the demigods. Thus, they are a practical example of how to live in security and safety by the grace of Krishna. Everyone should follow the example of the Pandavas, who showed how to be saved by the grace of Krishna. Our Krishna consciousness movement is intended to teach how everyone can live peacefully in this material world and at the end of life return home back to Godhead. In the material world there are always dangers at every step. Padam padam yad vipadam nite sham. Nonetheless, if one takes shelter of Krishna without hesitation and keeps under the shelter of Krishna, he can easily cross the ocean of nations. Samashitaye padapalavaplavam mahatpanam punya yashomarare. To the devotee, this great ocean of nations becomes like a puddle of water in the hoofprint of a cow. A pure devotee, without embarrassing himself by trying for elevation in so many ways, stays in the safest position as a servant of Krishna, and thus his life is eternally safe without a doubt. 69. Long, long ago, in another Mahakalpa, millennium of Brahma, I existed as the Gandharva known as Upabharana. I was respected by the other Gandharvas. I was very respected by the other Gandharvas. Purport. Srila Narada Muni is giving a practical example from his past life. Formerly, during the previous lifetime of Lord Brahma, Narada was one of the denizens of Gandharvaloka. But unfortunately, as will be explained, he fell from his exalted position in Gandharvaloka, where the inhabitants are extremely beautiful and expert in singing, to become a Shudra. Nonetheless, because of his association with devotees, he became more fortunate than he was in Gandharvaloka. Even though cursed by the Prajapatis to become a Shudra, in his next life he became the son of Lord Brahma. The word Mahakalpe is described by Srila Madhvacharya as Atita Brahmakalpe. Brahma dies at the end of a life of many millions of years. The day of Brahma is described in Bhagavad Gita 8:17. Sahasra yuga paryantam arhat yat brahma no vidu ratram yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidu janaha. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Bhagavan Sri Krishna can remember incidents from millions of years ago. Similarly, his pure devotee like Narada Muni can also remember incidents from a past life millions and millions of years ago. 70. I had a beautiful face and a pleasing, attractive bodily structure. Decorated with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp, I was most pleasing to the women of my city. Thus I was bewildered, always feeling lusty desires. Purport. From the description of the beauty of Narada Muni when he was one of the denizens of Gandharvaloka, it appears that everyone on that planet is extremely beautiful and pleasing and always decorated with flowers and sandalwood. Upaparna was Narada Muni's name previously. Upaparna was specifically expert in decorating himself to attract the attention of women, and thus he became a playboy, as described in the next verse. To be a playboy in this life is unfortunate because too much attraction to women will lead one to fall into the association of Shudras who can easily take advantage of mingling with women without restriction. In this present age of Kali, when people are munda sumunda mataya, very bad because of Shudra mentality, such free mingling is prominent. Among the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, there is no chance for men to mingle with women freely, but in the Shudra community, such mingling is open. Because there is no cultural education in this age of Kali, everyone is spiritually untrained, and everyone is therefore to be considered Shudra. Ashudha, Shudrakalpa hi, Brahmana, Kali, Sambhava. When all the people become Shudras, certainly they are very bad, Munda Sumunda Mataya, but they manufacture their own way of life with the result that they gradually become unfortunate, Munda Bhagya, and furthermore, they are always disturbed by various circumstances.
71. Once there was a Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord in an assembly of the demigods, and the Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited by the Prajapatis to take part in it. Purport. Sankirtana means chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement, as people sometimes mistakenly think. The Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life, and the holy name is chanted in all the higher planetary systems, including Brahmaloka and Chandraloka, not to speak of Gandharvaloka and Apsaraloka. The Sankirtan movement that was started in this world 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore not a new movement. Sometimes, because of our bad luck, this movement is stopped. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants again start the movement for the benefit of the entire world, or indeed, the entire universe. 72. Narada Muni continued, being invited to that festival, I also joined, and surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, the Prajapatis, the great demigods in charge of the affairs of the universe, forcefully cursed me with these words, because you have committed an offense, may you immediately become a Shudra devoid of beauty. Purport. As far as Kirtan is concerned, the Shastras say, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one should chant the glories of the Supreme Lord and the holy name of the Supreme Lord. This is clearly stated, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant about and glorify Lord Vishnu, not any demigod. Unfortunately, there are foolish persons who invent some process of kirtan on the basis of a demigod's name. This is an offense. Kirtana means glorifying the Supreme Lord, not any demigod. Sometimes people invent Kali Kirtana or Shiva Kirtana, and even big sannyasis in the Mayavad school say that one may chant any name and still get the same result. But here we find that millions and millions of years ago, when Narada Muni was a Gandharva, he neglected the order to glorify the Lord, and being mad in the association of women, he began to chant otherwise. Thus he was cursed to become a Shudra. His first offense was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women, and another offense was that he considered ordinary songs, like singing songs and other such songs, to be equal to Sankirtana. For this offense, he was punished with becoming a Shudra. 73. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maidservant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas, who were well-versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life,
I got the opportunity to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says in Bhagavad Gita, Mani Parti Bipashritya Yepi Su Papa Yonaya Striyo Vaishastata Shudras Deviyanti Parangatim, O son of Pritha. Those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, as well as Shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. It doesn't matter whether a person is born as a Shudra, a woman, or a Vaishya. If he associates with devotees repeatedly or always, sadhu sanghina, he can be elevated to the highest perfection. Narada Muni is explaining this in relation to his own life. The Sankirtana movement is important, for regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, Mlecha, Yavana, or whatever, if one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions, and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. This is bhakti. Anukulina Krishna nu shilanam. Bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. Anyabhilashita shunyam. If one has no desire other than to serve Krishna and his devotee, then his life is successful. This is explained by Narada Muni through his practical example from his own life. Text 74. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that by this chanting, even householders, grihasthas, can very easily gain the ultimate result achieved by persons in the renounced order. Maharaj Yudhishthir, I have now explained to you that process of religion. Purport. This is a confirmation of the Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone who takes part in this movement, regardless of what he is, can gain the topmost result achieved by a perfect sannyasi, namely Brahmagyan, spiritual knowledge. Even more important, he can advance in devotional service. Maharaj Yudhishthira thought that because he was a grihastha, there was no hope of his being liberated, and therefore he asked Narada Muni how he could get out of material entanglement. But Narada Muni, citing a practical example from his own life, established that by associating with devotees and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, any man, in any condition of life, can achieve the highest perfection, without a doubt. 75. My dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, you Pandavas are so very fortunate in this world that many, many great saints who can purify all the planets of the universe come to your house, just like ordinary visitors. Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is living confidentially with you in your house, just like your brother. Purport. Here is a statement exalting a Vaishnava. In human society, a Brahmana is the most respected person. A Brahmana is one who can understand Brahman, the impersonal Brahman, but hardly ever can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita as Param Brahma. A Brahmana may be extremely fortunate in having achieved Brahma Jnana, but the Pandavas were so exalted that the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was living in their house like an ordinary human being. The word Bodhibhaga indicates that the Pandavas were in a still higher position than Brahmacharis and Brahmanas. In the following verses, Narada Muni repeatedly glorifies the position of the Pandavas. How wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Parabrahman, Krishna, who is sought by great, great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master.
purport Krishna can become the director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. The Lord sends the spiritual master to train a devotee, and when the devotee is advanced, the Lord acts as the spiritual master within his heart. Tesham satati yuktanam rajatam priyati purvakam tadani buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Understanding. Krishna does not become the direct spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. Therefore, as we have already discussed, the Lord's representative spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary human being. The representative spiritual master never gives any false knowledge to his disciple, but only perfect knowledge. Thus, he is the representative of Krishna. Krishna helps as the guru or spiritual master from within and from without. From within, from without, he helps the devotee as his representative. And from within, he talks personally with the devotee and gives him instructions. Mm-hmm. And from within, he talks personally with the pure devotee and gives him instructions by which he may return home back to Godhead. 77. Present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees, and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Purport, Lord Krishna is not properly understood even by such exalted personalities as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, for to speak of ordinary men, but by his causeless mercy he bestows the benediction of devotion upon his devotees, who can thus understand Krishna as he is. Bhaktimam abhijanati yavanyash shasmi tatvataha. No one within this universe can understand Krishna in truth. But if one engages in devotional service, one can understand him perfectly well. This is also confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 7.1. Maya sakta mana parta yogam yunjam madashayaha asamshayam samagram mam yata gyasa sitashinu. Now hear, O son of Pratha, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Lord Krishna himself teaches how one can understand him perfectly well without a doubt. Not only the Pandavas, but everyone who sincerely accepts the instructions of Krishna can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. After instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessings that he be pleased with everyone and that everyone become perfect in Krishna consciousness and return home back to Godhead. 78. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhishthira, the best member of the Bharata dynasty, thus learned everything from the descriptions of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart, and in great ecstasy, love and affection, he worshipped Lord Krishna. Purport. It is natural that when someone belonging to one's family circle is understood to be very great, one becomes ecstatic in love, thinking, oh, such a great personality is our relative. When Sri Krishna, who was already known to the Pandavas, was further described by Narada Muni, to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally the Pandavas were amazed, thinking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is with us as our cousin. Certainly their ecstasy was extraordinary. 79. Narada Muni, being worshipped by Krishna and Maharaj Yudhishthira, bade them farewell and went away. Yudhishthira Maharaj, having heard that Krishna, his cousin, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was struck with wonder. Purport. After hearing the conversation between Narada and Yudhishthira, if one still has any doubts about Krishna's being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should immediately give them up. Without any doubt and without any defect, one should understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus surrender at his lotus feet. Ordinary persons do not do this, even after hearing all the Vedas. But if one is fortunate, although it may be even after many, many births, he comes to this conclusion. Bhagavanam Jamanamante Gyanavamam Prabhadyate. Well, we have a little ways to go, but I have a meeting. And so we're going to have to end it here. Okay? Just kidding. Text 80. Okay. Everyone relax. Okay. 80. Of all the planets within this universe, the varieties of living entities, moving and non-moving, including the demigods, demons, and human beings, were all generated from the daughters of Maharaj Daksha. I have now described them in their different dynasties. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, completed on the night of Vaishakhi Shukla Akadashi, the 10th of May, 1976, in the temple of the Panchatattva, New Navadvip, Honolulu, by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda, thus we may happily chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Hare.
End of the 7th canto. Bravo! Bravissimo! It's 108. And thus ends the reading yogya this year, 2018, in which we've completed the 5th, 6th, and 7th cantos. Thanks to Keshava Bhardi Maharaj for facilitating all of us. If he weren't walking the planet, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Thanks to Havi Prabhu for his undying enthusiasm to hear and chant coming every single year. Thanks to Shami Pras Prabhu for being the referee in the yagya, catching all the mistakes as we go along. Thanks to the camera crew, headed by Ramananda Saka Prabhu, Mukharavinda Prabhu, Gopal Champu and company. Thanks to all of you for coming from all over the world to participate in this yagya. Thanks to everyone who joined us online, to Sri Krishna Maharaj for keeping the doors open here so that we can come. And the best prasadam ever. And we'll take a few thoughts, reflections. We have a few minutes left about the yagya. Yes, Havi Prabhu.
On behalf of all of us here, we want to thank you wholeheartedly for your guidance, your inspiration, your example, and your beautiful person. Thank you very much.
Yes, Prabhu.
Just the overarching feeling I have after reading and hearing the 5th and 6th and 7th cantos is one of feeling completely protected by Krishna. Just so many pastimes of devotees going through so many different situations with Bharat Maharaj and Vritrasura and Prahlad Maharaj, and how Krishna always comes through for them. And just the great appreciation and sense of security.
And to add to that, I was thinking also about how with every curse and fall down and huge mistake, there was always a blessing, a seed that grew up that actually brought the personality to perfection. I was just talking to a devotee this morning who's going through a hard time, some transition happening. It looked like his world's turned upside down, and I really had the wherewithal to describe to him not just the details of the Bhagavatam, but also had the feeling, the deep perspective that when these kinds of things happen in our lives, it means that if you stay with the process and you depend on Krishna, then there's something growing that's going to come out and be better than you expected before. Other thoughts about the reading, the yagya, your time here? Yes, Radhishyam Prabhu.
Thank you so much for having this. I'm really praying that Krishna willing I can come every year. But I really appreciated the overarching, especially with the story of Ajamil, just how merciful the holy name is and how accessible it is and really how fortunate we are.
Nice realization. Very powerful. Others? Maharaj?
In the association of devotees who are attached to hearing the glories of the Lord, the access to the reality that these personalities are present, the different personalities that you all have mentioned, they're present, and therefore it's not that we just hear about them, we're with them, and we become purified in a way and to an extent that we can't imagine. Actually, we can't hardly imagine it. And this it is Krishna. This is the incarnation of Krishna, the literary incarnation of Krishna, appearing to us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And his purports are his ecstasies, and we can have his rare association, the way he puts his thoughts into English, so the most complex thoughts, and he makes them so simple and accessible, and even repeats them again and again, like he's taking us by the hand. I heard somebody say that, and just brings us along, you know, whether we think we're capable or not, we get something from this experience that is inexplicable, inconceivable fortune. And I would like to make a public service announcement that starting tomorrow night at 6:30, I'll be doing the daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books on that face page, on that fan page of Facebook, and we'll be starting from third canto, ninth chapter, and moving along till we finish the Bhagavatam. And you might be nice you might be happy to know that we've reached, while we were here, we reached for that particular reading 999 followers. One more and we're up to 1,000. So this means that
I'll join.
Yeah, this means that this, what's going on here, is inspiring a lot of people, a lot of devotees. Inspired me to do that. I wouldn't have thought to. I didn't want to put myself out there at all. And then last year when we did this reading for the first time live streamed, I thought, hey, this works. So I started doing it, and it's spreading, and it's extremely important to please Srila Prabhupada in a way that may be the best way. Get his books out, and get his books out through this sound is the surest way back home, back to Godhead.
You said 6:30 a.m.?
6:30 p.m. In Indian Standard Time. 6:30 p.m., 6:30 to 8.
We'll 6:30 p.m. to 8.
p.m. Indian Standard Time. Daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books.
easy to understand. Remember. Okay. Thank you so much,
technical
everyone.
Points. Shemiprash wants to know.
Just wanted to point out that I'm going to be continuing with the 8th canto and other devotees as well. Timings to be determined, but I'd like to continue on at near the same pace, although I won't have the association of the two great wings that are helping us fly in the transcendental sky. But stay tuned.
There's life after the yajna. If for those of you experiencing extreme withdrawals, we do have a few clinics set up where you can get a little help, some transcendental methadone here.
Hare Krishna. Of course, like it's
really close.
Thank you to the Holy Dham, all the devotees. Thank you so much. And for me, becomes very evident like that Prabhupada is Shakti Aveshavatar and it's Mahaprabhu Parishad. Like, if he gave the books, the necessary books, and but if it wasn't with his purports, it wouldn't work. So it's divine, this combination of the Bhagavatam and Gita and the other books and the purports. It's we couldn't make it so far without this full package. So it's unprecedented. It's unimaginable. It's the right medicine for us, and it's like this overwhelming, like this connection with Prabhupada, like solid, like he's really building highway to Vaikuntha, like, and the tradition is alive. And and one question, what is going to be the schedule for the next few days? Because Vaisheshika Prabhu is going to be here until 20th or something.
I just want to make one comment. It's more of a philosophical realization kind of thing. As we're reading more, I mean, we only did 3 cantos. And then, you know, it's like swimming in the ocean. And I was thinking, like, you know, what does it take to read that much? To organize yourself so you can read, which is harder, reading or writing? I mean, obviously writing is much harder. You're dealing with the translation, you're dealing with the word for word, the commentaries, putting it all down, getting it out and so forth. And I was remembering Daitava Pachi Pachi, you know, running behind my spiritual master. And when reading, I was feeling like that. It's like, okay, all I'm doing is reading. Prabhupada did the writing. And he realized it all too. So as hard as I can try, as fast as I can run reading these books, I can't, you know, I'll never catch up because he already wrote them. And so I was having that feeling like, how did you do this, Prabhupada? I mean, this is like impossible. Meanwhile, managing the whole movement, traveling around the world, being, you know, in old age and all these kinds of things. I appreciate what you said about how Prabhupada's this Shaktivesha avatar. And you really feel it when you read all the books. My schedule is that I need to... there's a lot of writing I have to do. I made a lot of... a few marks here in the 3 different cantos. I have to extract a lot from there. I also have several... I don't need to tell you everything I'm doing, but basically... to be announced. I'll be meeting with devotees and mostly closing my doors so I can concentrate and write and things like that over the next several days. I don't have a schedule yet. So far I know I'll be there for prasadam, except on Ekadashi. That's basically it. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining in. And if Krishna arranges... And Keshav Bharti Maharaj is accommodating again next year. We'll be back. And we'll see Krishna Maharaj. We'll be back here. Otherwise, we can never take it for granted. You know, whatever time we have is borrowed. It's precious. And we've had this yajna. If we don't have it, you know, in some time, you know, it's not available here, we'll find another card game place, you know, where we knock on the door and they let us in through the back door with the password, and we'll get in and we'll continue the reading somewhere, if not here, on another planet. And maybe we'll land on the planet where the Bhagavatam has a million verses rather than 16,000. And then we can put in, like, you know, instead of 5 hours a day, 24, and those will be, in, you know, calculated by the minutes of the demigods. Madhva's going, yeah, let's go, you know. Gopremanande Nitai Gaura Haribo 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo Nitai Gaura Haribo 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakalpadrushya kripasnabe vachapatitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha nantakuri vaishnaviniki ja.
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.